40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Orlando, Florida, where U.S. men's national soccer team head coach Bruce Arena opened a training camp on Monday. The Americans are preparing for crucial 2018 World Cup qualifying matches against Panama and Trinidad and Tobago. The USA will host Panama on Friday night at Orlando City Stadium, the 25,000-seat soccer-specific stadium. Is the home of Major League Soccer's Orlando City SC Club, as well as the Orlando Pride in the National Women's Soccer League. The new stadium officially opened in February earlier this year. After the Panama match, the USA will travel to Trinidad and Tobago to play its final 2018 World Cup qualifier on October 10th. The Americans are currently in fourth place in the Six Nation CONCACAF World Cup qualifying group for teams in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. Now, they're probably going to need to defeat Panama and beat or draw against Trinidad and Tobago to clinch one of three automatic World Cup berths in the CONCACAF region. Just before the Orlando training camp opened, Coach Arena was asked, could you speak about the commitment it will take from this team in order to come away from these games with a ticket booked for Russia 2018?
Well, the players always give the commitment. That's never an issue. The issue is whether we get the results we need, and I think we're positioned to do that. When I took the job last November, if you said to me you'd be in position in Game 9 to play a game at home that you had to win, would you take that? I'd say yes. So I think in 2017, we've had one blip, I think, in the Costa Rica game. All the other results went along as we expected, and maybe even an extra point in Mexico. And I think if it comes down to we need 4 or 6 points in our last two games, I think that's fine, and we'll get it done.
That's Bruce Arena, the head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team, hoping to get it done and book a ticket to the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Now, Coach Arena originally called 26 players to the Orlando training camp, but one of the players, midfielder Giassi Zardes, withdrew from the roster Sunday after suffering a groin injury Saturday while playing for the Los Angeles Galaxy. The 26-year-old Zardes will not be replaced on the USA's roster. Now let's go to England, where in Premier League football, the Gunners of Arsenal delivered the perfect gift for Arsene Wenger on the 21st anniversary of his appointment as manager, a 2-0 victory over visiting Brighton. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Nigerian striker Alex Iwobi, who scored Arsenal's second goal on Nigeria's 57th Independence Day anniversary. Way to go, Alex. And my friends at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM in Nigeria are also celebrating an anniversary. Happy 15th anniversary to my friends at VOA partner station Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, which was founded by Dr. Larry Zamaje.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamaje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this, it's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if we keep on the sunny side of life. If we keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. In African club football, this year's CAF Champions League semifinals has a real North African flavor. Teams from Algeria, Egypt, Morocco, and Tunisia are battling it out for the top prize in African club football. Reporter Samson Omale has an update on the action for us, as well as other African sports news. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with the 2017 CAF Champions League semi-final first leg matches played across various venues this past weekend. Al Ahly managed to score a crucial away goal from home, but lost 2-1 at Tunisia's Etoile du Sahel in the CAF Champions League semi-final first leg in Sousse on Sunday. The other semi-final first leg ended 0-0 on Friday night between Algeria's USM Alger and Wydad Casablanca of Morocco. The second legs will be played during the weekend of October 20th to the 22nd. In the CAF Confederations Cup, SuperSport United of South Africa scored late to force a 1-1 CAF Confederations Cup draw with Tunisia's Club Africain in their semi-final first leg match played in Pretoria on Sunday. In the other semi-finals, title holders TP Mazembe of the Democratic Republic of Congo edged 2010 winners FUS Rabat of Morocco 1-0 in Lubumbashi through an early Ben Malango goal. We stay with CAF as the Confederation of African Football has confirmed that three countries, Equatorial Guinea, Ethiopia and Morocco, have submitted bids to host the 2018 African Nations Championship CHAN. CAF Executive Committee is expected to complete the process of selecting a new host country for the tournament scheduled for January 2018 within 15 days. After Kenya, the initial host failed to meet the requirement. Total CHAN is a competition that brings together 16 national teams made up of players selected in their national championships. In women's football, Nigeria's Falconets thrashed their Tanzanian counterparts 6-0 in Dar es Salaam on Sunday to move into the next round of the 2018 FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup qualifiers. Four goals in the first half and two in the second half were enough to earn the Falconets a 9-0 aggregate score. The Falconets will now face Morocco in the next round of the qualifiers. Elsewhere, the Black Princess has thrumped Algeria 5-0 to reach the second round of the FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup qualifying round. In cricket news, South Africa fast bowler Moni Mukhel took two wickets for no runs in the first over of Bangladesh's second earnings on Sunday. Temba Bavuma is the Proteas batsman.
We've tried to work very hard in our discipline. We've tried to cut out on taking wickets or no balls. I know I'm a culprit of that. We've worked quite hard. The guys to do the hard yards at nets.
In golf news, Steven Ferreira of Portugal won his maiden title at the 12th edition of the Uganda Professionals Open at Kintete at the weekend. The 25-year-old becomes the first European to play and win the Ugandan championship.
My form's been a little bit off in South Africa at the moment, so good to get this win, build some confidence up going into the next stretch of the tournaments in South Africa. And once again, thanks to Uganda. It's quite a beautiful the place. Golf course is stunning.
The Portuguese urged Kenya strongman Dismas Indiza by 3 strokes to lift his third title in 2017.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
And finally, legendary long-distance runner Paul Tergat is the new National Olympic Committee of Kenya president. Paul Tergat was elected unopposed after the General Assembly knocked out his only challenger, Patrick Muya.
We shall collaborate closely with all partners, such as the national and county governments, to support youth programs at any other time.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The Women's National Basketball Association Finals will come down to a winner-take-all Game 5 Wednesday night in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's where the Minnesota Lynx will try for their 4th WNBA championship in 7 years when they play the reigning title holder, the Los Angeles Sparks. This is a rematch of the 2016 WNBA Finals, when the Sparks won Game 5 at Minnesota to take the crown. The Lynx defeated the Sparks Sunday night 80-69 to force the decisive Game 5. Sylvia Fowles, the 2017 WNBA League Most Valuable Player, scored a game-high 22 points for Minnesota, while Odyssey Sims had 18 points for Los Angeles. Eneka Ogwumike, who was the 2016 WNBA Most Valuable Player, scored 17 points for the Sparks. She's the older sister of Chinne Ogwumike, who plays for the WNBA's Connecticut Suns Club. Both sisters are of Nigerian descent. Here in Washington, my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards, will host the Guangzhou Long Lions of the Chinese Basketball Association in an exhibition game later Monday night. The Wizards have a long history with China, where basketball ranks as the top team sport played by more than 300 million people. In 1979, the Wizards, then known as the Bullets, became the first NBA team to play in China, spending 2 weeks in Beijing and Shanghai. Since that trip 38 years ago, the NBA has expanded in the most populous country in the world. During this NBA preseason, the league will hold its 23rd and 24th games in China. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors will play exhibition games in Shenzhen and Shanghai. Back here in Washington, it's worth noting, my beloved Washington Wizards play their home games in Chinatown. That's right, the Chinatown section of Washington. In more NBA news, Oklahoma City Thunder star Russell Westbrook has signed the biggest guaranteed contract in league history, a 6-season, $233 million package that goes through the 2022-2023 season. Russell Westbrook is the NBA's reigning most valuable player. He's coming off a historically productive season in which he became the first player since Oscar Robertson way back in 1962 to average a triple-double for a season, that is, double figures in 3 different statistical categories. During the offseason, Oklahoma City management also acquired star players Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. The contracts of George and Anthony are due to expire at the end of the upcoming season, so we'll see if Russell Westbrook's long-term deal will entice them to stay in Oklahoma City. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Magnus Chisom in Nigeria. I love listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's always a daily delight of listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. Once again, Magnus Chisom in Nigeria. I'm wishing all the Sunny Side of Sports listeners all the best. Bye.
Because this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
I'm very, 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 very excited. Chabulile.
Hola. Cause this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
Voice of America.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Monday?
Well, we start, unfortunately, with a sad story today. I'm sure many of our listeners have seen the headlines that at least 58 people have been killed and more than 500 injured in the city of Las Vegas, Nevada, at the concert, a country music concert, where a man opened fire from a hotel nearby. It's the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. Las Vegas, Nevada is a big sports town. As we've talked about on the show, they've gotten a new National Hockey League team, the Vegas Golden Knights. The Oakland Raiders of the National Football League will be moving to Las Vegas in a couple of years. So it's a very big sports and entertainment place. So naturally, we're getting a lot of tributes and condolences pouring in on social media from across the sports world. You have NBA players, NFL players, Major League Baseball players, all offering their thoughts, prayers, and condolences. And among them, Bryce Harper, who is the right fielder for the Washington Nationals right here in Washington, D.C. He grew up in Las Vegas. So this is what he put on his Twitter account. He said, "The pride of Vegas runs deep when you are born and raised in such a great town. I can't fathom the horrific event that has taken place. My thoughts and prayers go out to the families that have been affected by this and to all the people that have lost their lives way too soon. Las Vegas, I love you." So we're seeing a lot of those kind of messages, even from players who may not have a connection to the city. They've gone there before in the off season. They've enjoyed spending time there. They're all reaching out and saying what a horrible, horrible tragedy this is.
Horrible indeed. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we have a little bit of a theme here today. It's Monday, so let's do Movie Monday.
Movie Monday. I like that.
And the reason why it's Movie Monday is because there are two movies that are out right now that both involve sports. In fact, both involve tennis, one of which I was very lucky to go see this past Friday, and that was Battle of the Sexes. It received a wide release in the United States this weekend. It's set to be released worldwide in the next couple months. And it's, of course, the story of the Battle of the Sexes tennis match between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs in September 1973. We've talked about that on the show before. They just had the big anniversary a couple weeks ago, and now they have this big major motion picture where they're cataloging this battle for equality on the tennis court. It was definitely a time of social upheaval, so the movie talks a lot about gender equality, but it also talks about how Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs had different relationships with their spouses. Mm. Particularly for Billie Jean King, she, in addition to being an advocate for gender equality in sports, is an LGBT rights advocate. So the movie explores that side of her life and her acceptance of her sexuality. But it's a great film. It was really entertaining. It shows that these figures, these huge titans of sport, particularly Billie Jean King, who has become kind of like a mythical figure in sports for what she's done, that they're human. There are a lot of moments where you see that these are athletes that break down, they get sick, they get hurt, they have to train, they have emotional connections with people, they have emotional troubles that they have to deal with as much as the physical. But it's a great side of this story that we've heard so much about. You get to see inside of that. And the acting is great, too. I mean, it's like watching Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs up there. It's fantastic.
Emma Stone played Billie Jean King and Steve Carell played Riggs. What did you think of their performances?
You know, they're already talking about Emma Stone maybe getting another Oscar nomination. She, of course, won the Academy Award last year for La La Land. Steve Carell has been nominated several times before. I expect both of them to get nominated. I wouldn't be surprised if this movie gets quite a lot of nominations come awards season because it is a really compelling and well done movie. It's a great story. It's the way it's shot, it looks like it's kind of the 1970s, got that feel to it. It's just very cool, and you see deeper than just that headline match. You see how much Billie Jean King did with women, with forming the Virginia Slims Tour, the Women's Tennis Association, which is still the governing body for women's tennis today. And you see Bobby Riggs, you know, he is a Wimbledon champion and a Hall of Famer, winning Wimbledon in 1939. Mm. So you see with the longevity that he had in his career and how much of a hustler he was. He wasn't so much of a chauvinist. He kind of put on that persona for this Battle of the Sexes, but he was definitely loved to gamble, loved to hustle. And you saw that Steve Carell portrayed him in the movie.
What about the other tennis movie, Andrew?
Well, the other big one is Borg McEnroe. It's looking at one of tennis's greatest rivalries between Swede Bjorn Borg and American John McEnroe, particularly their meeting at the 1980s Men's Championships at Wimbledon, a match that many say is one of the greatest ever. The film premiered in Zurich last week, and it's kind of the opposite release schedule from Battle of the Sexes. It's being released around the world in 2017 and not coming to the U.S. until 2018. So we haven't seen this movie yet, but I'm excited to see this. And at that premiere in Zurich, lots of tennis stars out and celebrities. And what better person to ask about such a great rivalry than a man called the greatest of all time? I'm, of course, talking about Roger Federer. Here is the Swiss star's thoughts on Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe, not just as tennis players, but as people.
Wonderful human beings, great people. Been unbelievable for tennis. You know, they paved the way for us. So I'm forever grateful to what Borg and McEnroe did for our sport. McEnroe as a player, singles, doubles, and commentator. And Borg just as an absolute legend and a mystery to some extent because he wasn't around very much, especially after he retired. And when he played, he was extremely quiet. And I think the movie actually shows that a little bit. So I love speaking to them. They have incredible stories to tell because they lived a different life than what we lived now. It was more rock and roll, let's be honest. Today it's become very professional, but still we had a good time. But it's very similar to some extent. We can still be rivals, yet we can get along well. And I think Nadal and me, we show that like McEnroe and Borg did as well.
So drawing some comparisons there, maybe there'll be a Federer-Nadal movie coming up in the future, who knows. But also at the premiere in Zurich was Sverre Gudnason, who plays Borg. He admits that he doesn't watch tennis and didn't watch it when he was younger, but he definitely knew who Borg was.
I grew up with Bjorn Borg as this big icon. I mean, he was known in the whole world. He was like Michael Jackson or the Pope or something. And for me, it was just like a big figure in the media. I hadn't really seen those matches. I was too young. I was born in 78, so I was only two when this match got played. But my relationship to him was the legend Borg, the icon Borg. But I did not have any relationship with tennis. I didn't play tennis, and I had never really seen a tennis match.
So two interesting parallels between these movies, kind of the humanization of these big athletic stars. And Sverre Gudnason and Emma Stone said they were not tennis fans before they starred in these films, and now they said they are very big tennis fans after starring as Billie Jean King and Bjorn Borg.
Two interesting movies. Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the October 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer, Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Continuing a message of reform at the UN General Assembly's high-level week, Vice President Mike Pence lauded the UN Security Council's unanimous adoption of Resolution 2378, calling for improvements to UN peacekeeping operations.
President Trump and I firmly believe that the UN must act to make its peacekeeping operations more efficient, more effective, more accountable, and more credible.
The new resolution notes that conflict prevention remains primarily the responsibility of sovereign states and that the United Nations should support and complement the roles of national governments in settling disputes by peaceful means. Peacekeeping missions should not replace the pursuit of political resolution to conflicts. Mediation, ceasefire monitoring, and assistance in implementation of peace accords will continue to be central to the UN approach to keeping the peace. The resolution also calls for structural reforms to improve efficiency and mission planning. Vice President Pence noted that peacekeeping missions must have the consent of the host country and have realistic and achievable mandates. Every mission must have an exit strategy, and the United Nations peacekeeping missions must adjust to progress and failure, he said.
In short, when a mission succeeds, we should not prolong it. When a mission underperforms, we should restructure it. And when a mission consistently fails to fulfill the mandates of this council, we should end it.
The resolution underscores the need to increase the number of relevant pledges of capabilities, reinforces the importance of peacekeeper performance, and calls for specific steps to address issues regarding misconduct among peacekeeping troops. It also calls for improved partnerships with regional entities. We urge the United Nations to analyze all peacekeeping operations in light of these principles so that these missions most effectively advance peace across the wider world, said Vice President Pence. Noting the first words of the UN Charter to maintain international peace, he called on all member nations to rededicate themselves to this mission. Keeping the peace requires more than peacekeeping, he said. It requires action and the unwavering resolve of every country gathered here today.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hey there, this is Shauna Renee, the lady DJ and host of Soul Lounge. Every Sunday at 1400 UTC, I choose an artist that you and I love, and we break down their entire career while listening to their biggest hits. That's what we do here on the Soul Lounge. Once again, every Sunday, 1400 UTC, right here.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
The best footballers must have dedication and teamwork. And to end malaria, we need this same unity. Malaria stops footballers from scoring and children from learning. Join with footballer Didier Drogba.
Malaria is preventable and treatable.
Join with leaders like President Kikwete.
United, we can beat malaria.
Hello, I'm Lynn Ormudu, host of Health Chat. Join us this Tuesday as we take a look at maternal and newborn health. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-691-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.